Welcome back to the Stoplight Approach podcast, where brain science is made simple. I am your host, Sarah Ganger. Today on the podcast, we are talking about chapter 12 of the book Signals. Chapter 12 is on calming, parenting for red. And here to discuss chapter 12 with me is my husband, Tim. Hello.
Hi.
So in a lot of ways, chapter 12 was a review from a lot of it pulled from a lot of other chapters in the book, but it's talking about red brain situations. So things like when they're screaming or yelling, or, you know, one child hitting another, or, you know, unsafe situations, a child running out into the street, things like that. And the things that it sort of reminded me of from previous chapters in the book is from chapter 9, when we talked about how we have to look at the root, like it, what appears to be red behavior. Is it actually red behavior? You know, is it coming from a green brain, or is that happy screaming? You know, is this just a fun sort of punching game that they're playing and everyone's smiling? Is this, you know, just a child who's sort of gotten lost in what they're doing, not really paying attention and doesn't see what direction they're running, you know? And so, you know, from chapter 9, kind of like always evaluating, like, it appears to be a red situation, but is this actually coming from a red brain state, rather than assuming that we know, asking questions about it. The other thing that really stuck out to me from this chapter was the absolute necessity of the adult, the parent in the situation, to stay in green. And we've talked about that a lot. Chapter 5 was a whole chapter spent on kind of reviewing your triggers from the past so that you are able to, in these red brain moments, stay in green. And having those practices and stuff that I've developed as a parent so that I can stay in green even when my child is in a red situation or when my child's in red brain. So all of that is sort of review from previous chapters, but was there anything that stuck out to you from this chapter that was kind of like new, or, oh, we haven't talked about that before?
Yeah, I think it was new, but it was also one of those ones that like punches you in the gut. Mm. It kind of takes the breath out of you. You're like, oh, yes, I've done that. And I knew it was bad at the time, but then also when you're kind of reading it, you realize, oh man, like, I really see it. And what she talks about is how easy it is when we're in red to go to shame. Mm. And I've done that before. And I was thinking about it and thinking, like, well, why do we say things like, what were you thinking? Mm. Or what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. And what I realized is that so often what I wanted, and yeah, this is just me, is what I functionally wanted was for my child to act like an adult. and as I say that, I laugh because it is 100% ridiculous for me to think that my 3-year-old is going to be able to function in an adult way. There's no way that's possible. But then I also realized, like, that's also true for our teenagers. Like, they're learning the skills. They have way more skills than a toddler does. But they're still not an adult, and so there's a reason why they can't do all the things that adults can do, is because they're just not developed enough. Their brain isn't developed enough. They don't have the skills they need to. But then to shame them because they don't have that is literally shaming them for something that they can't do. Mm-hmm. So we're literally, so often the way we're speaking when we do that, what's wrong with you? Well, they're 5. Mm-hmm. like they're seeing the world as a 5-year-old sees it. They're dealing with things emotionally as a 5-year-old sees it. And so often I realize, man, I want them to be 35 years old. And if that's my standard, well, gosh, I'm going to be in red a lot. And that means I'm going to probably say some really damaging things to my kids if that's the case. And so just like you said earlier, just how important it is to stay in green. But then also to be really aware of, do I have kind of a go-to, I don't know, know, insult, a go-to phrase, because more than likely there's probably a reason why that's your go-to. And you know, is that, you know, wrong expectations? Is that, you know, those time constraints like we talked about before? But like, what is it? And then what's kind of, is there a go-to phrase that your kids will probably tell you what that is if you ask them? But recognizing that we probably have something where we go to, and many times that's something that we often feel, and then we put on them. And so I think that was really, I mean, one of those hard things, but a helpful thing for me to say, you know, when I'm in red, you're not in a great place to parent, to take care of people. And it's also a place where you can really do some pretty significant damage to your kid. And so that's why it's so important to stay in green. And then when you're in red is what can you do to help you get out of that situation and get back to green?
Yeah, I was really thankful as well that she mentioned shame, because I feel like it's one of those things that is, in a lot of ways, it's sort of just the air that we breathe. It's kind of like the water that we swim in our culture. And it's interesting because, you know, in a sort of Western culture, American culture, you know, it's easy to think, oh no, like we don't have a shame culture. Like, you know, that's, you know, for those honor shame cultures, you know, maybe in different parts of the world, but not here. But actually, like if you listen to the way, especially a lot of adults talk to children, then you'll hear it. Like you'll hear that kind of like, what's wrong with you? You know, like that's shaming language. And I mean, it's a really silly example, but I was watching a Christmas movie that I watched as a kid growing up. You know, it's like a Christmas movie from the 60s, and I watched it every year as a kid. And we've never watched it with our kids, because I remembered that the way that the adults talked to the children in the movie was really shaming, and I didn't want to, you know, watch that with my kids as they were growing up. But we watched it really recently because our kids are big now, and I could explain, like, oh, this is why we've never watched this. And they wanted to watch it. And so I said, okay, but like, listen for this kind of stuff. This is the reason we've never watched it before. And our kids could pick it out. Mm-hmm. Like, they heard it, like the way the adult characters in the movie were talking to like the younger characters in the movie. And like, our kids were like, geez, what's their problem? You know?
Yeah.
But again, like this is kind of just the air that we breathe. And unless we intentionally choose something different, like unless we like interrupt that, mm-hmm. starting with me, you know, starting with you, like then it just perpetuates generation after generation. And so, picking out that shaming language and realizing like, where does this infiltrate? Like, how does this sneak into my parenting? Not to make me feel ashamed, because then like, that's just a vicious cycle. It'll just feed the shame. But to say like, okay, I want to choose something different in the way mm-hmm. that I talk to my kids. And so how am I going to change like this particular phrase that I use, or this even particular like tone or body language? Because all of that can communicate shame.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And like she says, it's the easiest to do it when we're in red brain, because we're not thinking, we're using 50% of our IQ. Right. And so just sort of like what automatically is wired in there mm-hmm. in that red brain state, that's what's going to come out. And so, yeah, just the importance of trying to stay in green brain as much as we can, and then repairing it mm-hmm. When we do have those red brain moments, making sure we go back and we repair and say that it was not okay for me to talk to you like that, that I should not have used that phrase. It was wrong. I need you to forgive me. The other thing she talks about a lot in here is the kind of steps when you're in red: name it to tame it, belly breathing, and the self-regulation. There are lots of good ideas for that in chapter 6. And so what was interesting was, you know, in chapter 6, it was mostly for the parent. You know, mm-hmm. the parent needs to learn to name it, to tame it. The parent needs to take those big belly breaths. Like, the parent needs to know what is self-regulating, what is calming for the parent, you know? And now here we are in chapter 12, and we're saying, okay, now let's do this with our kids. And so it's just so important to remember, like, we can't do this with our kids. We can't guide them through these steps when they're in red unless we know how to do it ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, we as parents, me as the mom, unless I can do it for myself, it's going to be really hard for me to guide my children through it. So that's really important. The other thing that was new in this chapter that I thought was really important was this idea of, you know, you have to move through all the brain states. Mm-hmm. So when you start out in red, you don't just like kind of automatically get to green. Yeah. You go from red to yellow to green. And it's definitely this, it's not a quick process. It takes time. You sort of have to hold space to allow a child to get through all of those brain states. And I was just going to see, like, did you recognize, like, a situation that we've been in that kind of process?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think there's a lot of different things. I think just, you know, the ones that are clearest in my mind are usually the ones that are, you know, most recent. But, yeah, like, this has definitely been something that I've gone through recently, and that in some ways it was very similar, I think, to what she writes in the book, that, you know, it was yelling that then turned into it was with one of my kids, there was yelling from both of us, but then that turned me, and I knew that it was wrong, and so then I said to him, hey, this is not right for me to do. And then that, for me though, that turned into tears, because that's actually where my yelling was from. It wasn't really from anger as much as it was from sadness. Mm. And it didn't change the fact that I was, it wasn't red brain. It doesn't change that I need to still be responsible for what I do. But then what was really fascinating was, because I was able to recognized that I was doing something wrong, and that allowed me to actually reveal what I was actually feeling, mm-hmm. which was sadness. Then what ended up happening with that kid is that's what they were feeling too. Mm-hmm. And so it took me mm-hmm. getting back down to yellow. I mean, it was probably a little orange, you know what I mean? I was kind of right there, but by me being able to do that, it allowed mm-hmm. them, kind of once again, like she talked about in other places, those mirror neurons mm-hmm. for her to bring back down. Mm-hmm. And then that enabled us to actually then both be in tears, mm-hmm. but then that also enables us to connect.
Yeah.
We could see that nobody was mad at anybody. That wasn't what it was at all. And then we hugged and cried some, and then we were able to actually talk. Mm-hmm. Like, because we actually went through the whole process to get all the way back to green. And then once we were in green, then we could get down to what was going on. And then we could do some of that coaching. You know, that when this happens, let's do this. When this happens, let's do this. Like, and so it is 100% true. Like, you do have to go through all of it, because if we could have, of course I would have loved to skip to the let's do that, but it was through the tears and through the connection that was actually really the glue yeah. that really made all of this go from not great to a place that we both walked away saying, okay, yeah, that was a conversation that we really needed to have. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of emotions in that we really needed to really put on display with each other. And we didn't end on red.
Yeah.
But it was the process of connecting in yellow that really made the green end up being such like a really bright, beautiful green. But it took a long time.
Yeah.
And at the same time, because of the result of what happened, because we went through all of it, I'm so thankful yeah. that we ended in that way. And I think that that's maybe one thing too, is that we don't want to be in red, but if we're willing to take the steps and do the work that, that we need to do and help our kids to do the work that they need to do, then you end up in a place where the green is the brighter of the colors. And that's wonderful. Then we're better able to handle this next situation, better able to work through things together.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's what you said about like putting in the time, like being willing to have the time that it takes to kind of hold that space. And I think that that is a big challenge in our kind of like hurried, go, 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 got to get to the next thing kind of culture, where we're overprogrammed and overscheduled. There's really not a lot of time to kind of like hold space for things like this. And so that is why, you know, in other parts of the book, things like simplifying your life and trying to kind of scale back on some of the commitments, just so that there is time to have these moments where you can kind of move through these stages and allow that calming connection, and then coaching to kind of like go through the full cycle. Absolutely. And again, like I love that you pointed out that this is for children and it is for adults. Like all of us have to go through the same cycle of red brain, yellow brain, green brain, you know, kind of like calming, connecting, coaching. Like we all need to like move through the whole cycle, and we all need someone to move through it with us, you know, someone to be with us in it, to kind of like hold space with us, not trying to fix it, not trying to shut it off or shut it down, but just say like, I'm here and I'm with you in it. And how important that is for the process to be able to kind of unfold. Yeah, that's really good. So next week we will be talking about chapter 13, and we are getting very close to finishing the book. Just so that people know, I think that we are going to combine 14 and 15 so that we can kind of conclude this series before the end of the year. So we're going to try to squish the last couple of chapters together.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Stoplight Approach podcast. Please share, subscribe, rate, and review this podcast, as it will help other people to find us. The Stoplight Approach offers many resources to help families, schools, churches, and other groups to grow in their understanding of the brain and relationships. Please visit www.thestoplightapproach.org to learn more.